You know him from the Smiley Morning Show. Now he's got his own show. Radio Theology is on ZPL. Here's Pub Pastor Darren.
Oh, boy. Yay. Good evening, ladies and gents. I'm just coming off of an adrenaline dump, guys. It's Radio Theology. I've been praying the whole time. I got cut off twice on the way to the studio.
Oh, no.
I'm road raging like a crazy person right now.
You've been pacing a lot.
Oh, man, I need some prayer. It's going to be a feisty show. Anyway, welcome to Radio Theology 995 ZPL. And, guys, we got a treat for you. I don't know. There's a morning show on this station. I don't know you guys, if you know that or not.
Oh, yeah.
It's world famous.
Yep.
It's number one by a landslide. Like, there's other morning shows in Indy.
Yeah.
Barely. Because this show dominates the airwaves.
Just crushes it.
And there's one person who is the talent on the show. Really, the glue that holds it together, the brains. She's the compassion.
Shining star.
Shining star.
Yeah.
We're talking about no one else than the amazing helper, Tony. Tony Williams is in the house tonight.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm not sure anything that you just said was true, but I appreciated all of it.
It felt good, didn't it?
It did.
This is Radio Theology with Pub Pastor Darren on 99.5 ZPL.
Welcome to Radio Theology. I'm Darren Earlywine, your host, here with Lisa Graff, Ryan Alwer, and Tony Williams. And we're talking about Tony's kind of spiritual journey, talking about childhood and stuff. And Ryan, you had a great question.
Yeah. Okay. So, Tony, what would your parents say, like, if you lost a pet? You know, because some parents are like, well, in a better place now.
Right.
We're like, all dogs go to heaven.
Okay, so I have to tell you, this is a bizarre story, but I had a dog growing up. It was a German Shepherd sheepdog mix, and her name was Hooker, because my dad had always said he wanted to be able to say there was a hooker at home waiting for him. And so,
I love your father.
That was her
name. That's hilarious.
And my mom, this is a big dog.
Yeah.
And at some point, my mom decided this dog is tearing up the house, and she didn't want the dog anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
My brother, his best friend was this dog. He loved this dog more than anything. And we lived out in the middle of nowhere at that point, so this dog really was his best friend. There was nobody else that lived out in Geist. And so at one point, we get in the car, and we're all going to my grandparents' farm. They have a farm out in LaPel and a big cornfield. So we go out there, and he's running around the farm. The dog, my brother and the dog is loving it. And then we get back in the car, and it's time to go. And my brother's like, we forgot Hooker. And he's screaming, we forgot Hooker. And the car keeps going.
Oh,
and
oh,
at one point, he said my grandma just, like, you know, patted his head, and then he knew, like, Hooker wasn't getting in the car.
So that's the last time.
And he's like, I turn around, and I see Hooker chasing after the car. Like, hey,
so confused.
You could just hear the music in the background.
Oh,
right?
Oh, my gosh.
So
this is in full-blown tears
right now.
Yes,
I'm weeping.
It's
a good thing this is radio.
But, you know, we were told, like, there were some people at the farmhouse that were going to keep the dog, and the dog loved the farm.
Yeah.
And so that's the last we ever saw of Hooker. Fast forward to many years later. This is only about 5 years ago. We are with my mom, and everyone's been drinking. My mom has been drinking a little bit too much.
Oh, boy.
And we start talking about Hooker because my brother's still pissed about
Hooker. Still in therapy.
And,
as he should be.
Right. Yeah, right.
And, like, remember when you gave away my best friend? So she starts to cry, and she goes, I didn't know he was going to do it. And Cody's like, my brother's name is Cody, and he's like, what? And he's like, I didn't know. And he was like, did you kill my dog? And she was like, well, I didn't, but your grandpa did.
Oh,
no!
No!
No! So that is how we learned about pets dying.
Wow.
There is no God involved in that process.
Oh,
wow.
Gosh.
When your grandfather murders your best friend who's a dog.
He just, well, on a farm, you just
he
take the shotgun.
I mean,
right,
he used
to shoot the dog.
He would catch, he would catch squirrels and chipmunks in a trap and then drown them in, like, a bucket of water.
Oh,
and, like, we would watch. He would make us watch. Like, this is what you do. You get, it's a rodent. You get rid of it, and then you bury it in the backyard. Done with it.
Wow.
Like, there was no sense of,
so what we've learned from this story about,
this is not a sacred animal,
Tony's
spiritual the Lord created.
Path in life is that your brother, we need to start praying for him daily.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We do.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
That is a deep-seated pain right there.
Gets mad at it to this
Lord.
Day.
I would.
I'd be mad too.
That's betrayal on so many levels.
Yes. Yes.
Even living the farm life. I mean, I know, I get it, but.
Right.
Oh, boy.
That's
yeah,
hard.
My grandfather, they had these stray cats all over, and, you know, one climbed up the tree, meow, 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 won't get down, and wants help getting down. He shot him.
Oh.
He shot the cat. Boom. Now he's down.
He's down.
That got you down. And it's suddenly quiet.
Wow. Should have done that a lot earlier, right? I don't, you know, that's just how they do it on the farm.
Wow, what
so
is
I,
with,
I get it, but.
What is have, with grandfathers on farms with animals?
We have lost control of this show. This is Radio Theology, your weekly dose of faith, hope, and love here on 995 ZPO. When we come back, we may learn about another, you know, death in Tony's family.
Oh, my goodness.
But, here in the past, you know, the recent years of Tony's life, you've had a little bit of a reawakening, or at least more interest in a spiritual journey. And you talked about maybe that when Lucas was born, that started kind of turning some leaves there. So
absolutely,
we're going to jump into that right here on 99.5 ZPL. It's Radio Theology. We'll be right back.
This is Radio Theology with Pub Pastor Darren on 99.5 ZPL.
We're having a great time tonight. We got Tony Williams from the Smiley Morning Show in with us tonight.
Yes.
And we're just talking about spiritual journeys, right? We've all got one. We're all trying to kind of figure this thing out. Is this life the only thing? What's the bigger meaning of things? Where's God fit in all of it? We're talking about and how that works out raising your kids, too.
Oof.
And we're trying to raise our kids right. We're just talking, you know, in the commercial break that evidently, you know, there's important things like faith, hope, love, Jesus, you know, life after death. Then there's like proper use of like bodily functions too. You know what I mean? Making sure you're raising them right. And so, Tony, you were saying that you've taught Lucas really good bottom etiquette.
Well, I thought it was really cute when he was little.
Bottom etiquette.
Anytime he farted, I would have him say, "Excuse my butt." I would giggle hilarious, and we would be out like at the grocery store and nobody hears anything and he's going, "Excuse my butt." And I'm dying laughing. I still think it's funny. He's 6 years old. He still does it to this day. And my fiance is like, "I think maybe you need to tell him that like that's not a thing. He's going to be at school. The other kids are going to like, you know, pick on him and make fun of him." I'm like, "I don't know. I think it's cute. It makes me laugh." So
I want that kid to be 27.
Right?
Yeah. Just out on a date.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Excuse my butt.
Yeah.
You know what?
I'm sorry, what?
I think that girl should be very thankful that he's polite.
Yes.
That's true.
That's true.
Most guys just let it happen and be like, enjoy that one.
Exactly.
On a date, though?
That's true.
If you're on a date, you're like, dude, lock it off.
Yeah.
God, seal that.
You want to painfully send that back into your body.
Yeah, I can remember being on dates in high school and holding in farts the whole date, right? And then you drop the girl off and just destroy your
car.
You pass out at the wheel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Praise God, she's gone. Excuse my butt. Now, Ryan, you were saying in your house,
oh gosh,
the fart, it's an F word. It can't be used.
Yeah, we don't use the word fart. So Lauren was raised in a home where fart was not used, and they called it crackle. To crackle would be to fart.
Really? Now,
first time I heard that, I was like, that's funny. Oh wait, you're serious. And so we have conditioned Olivia, our beautiful little 2-year-old ginger daughter, to when anytime she announces that she crackles, so she's like, "I crackle, Daddy." I'm like, "No, you didn't. You fart." Yeah, you crackle. Right. So yeah, she's a crackler.
Oh, goodness.
Oh,
she claims it. She claims the crackling.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So those are important things. Let's be honest, right? But Tony, you and David, you're getting married here at the end of the month, right?
Yes.
Can't wait for the wedding.
Well, not the end of this month.
In next month. Sorry.
Next month.
Sorry.
Ooh, give me a little anxiety.
Yeah, panic take a deep attack. Breath.
Just
there's
get married
lot
off.
Still to be done. I need every day of the 49 days I still have left.
49 days.
I think I have. I thought it would be really cute to download this app that's called The Countdown, and it'll tell you like how many days until your vacation, how many days until your wedding. 47 days.
Oh my! There it is.
47 days.
Cool. There it is. We still got to choose
36 minutes and 30 seconds.
We still got to choose all the ceremony choices. And get on the details.
Because you're officiating, right?
I am.
Yes.
I am. Yeah, it's going to be big. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Can't wait. So you guys are getting married, and we've been talking in the premarital counseling that one of the things that you guys are trying to figure out, and I mean really will be for the rest of your marriage, right, is David grew up very Catholic, and you grew up without a lot of, you know, religious, you know,
Influence.
There's a word that's a great word. Thank you. Appreciate it. And so you guys are trying to figure out how with your families being a blended family, how that's all going to shape out. So how's that been working out for you guys?
Well, and not only he's Catholic, his kids were in Catholic school until eighth grade. And so, I mean, Catholicism is a big part of their family.
Yeah.
And when I go to Catholic church, I do not feel at home. I don't feel welcome. I've, you know, shared with him. It's not that I don't want to go. It's just that it doesn't. When I go to my church, I walk away feeling refreshed and excited. And when I go to Catholic church, I don't feel any of that. And in fact, my son, on several occasions, he wants to know why everybody goes up to get communion and he can't go.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So what I started doing was taking what I call Jesus Cheez-Its to church.
Yes.
Oh, I take a little baggie of Jesus Cheez-Its. And so when everybody gets up and takes communion,
yes.
Because, you know, his half-brother, step-brother and stepsister are going up there and he wants to go with them. Like, yeah. No, you stay here. And I ask him, do you love Jesus? Mm-hmm. And he says, yes. And I say, do you accept him in your heart? And he says, yes. And then I'm like, here's a Cheez-It. And then he eats a Cheez-It.
That's the most beautiful thing I've heard.
He turns to me and asks me the same question. Aww, and I get a Cheez-It.
So you guys have your own little communion jam right there.
Jesus Cheez-It communion.
Brilliant. That is brilliant.
That might be the favorite thing I've heard.
Part of me wishes that happened at the Last Supper. Which is like, on the night he was betrayed, he looked around and asked anyone, does anyone have any Cheez-Its? Because I'd love some.
Yeah. Well, and I finally broke down and told his David's brother is a priest.
Yeah.
So my future brother-in-law is a priest. I didn't, you know, I was like, if I'm doing this, because he's the one, he's the priest up there while I'm doing this. Yeah. So is this, I don't want to be sacrilegious.
Right.
I don't want to do anything. And he was like, you know, I don't see anything necessarily wrong with that.
So you got a seal of approval from a real priest for Jesus Cheez-Its.
He shook his head in a non-approving way.
Yeah.
But he said, I don't think that there's anything that I can say that is wrong with that.
You should market the Jesus Cheez-Its.
I said trademark. I would say, what do you do with like the
wine? Can I get those in ranch? Can I get those in Buffalo ranch?
There's an interesting thing because my wife was raised Catholic, like same Catholic church her entire life. We got married in her Catholic church because that was the church
did
home.
Did you convert?
No, it's what we kind of like we compromised where we said, okay, once I realized, oh, you don't want to get married in the Catholic church because you want to like raise our family and like da da da. But this is like your home church. Like this is an extremely important part. Like this is your home spiritually. She's like, yeah. And so we did it. And once I kind of got over that, I was like, oh, this is totally great. But anyway, I've gone to mass. Like when we've gone home for vacations and stuff for holidays or whatever, we go to her family's church. And not so much now, but in moments past where I felt like a little bit like, oh, I don't fit in here. And then I realized, oh, this is maybe how a lot of people feel walking into church like for the very first time.
Yeah,
like it is an awkward experience sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm curious because in communion, not everyone takes the wine in Catholic churches that I've seen because some people like duck out after the host and they're like, I'm out. I got to go, you know, do some things. What do you guys do? You do the Jesus Cheez-Its. Do you do anything with the wine?
No. I mean, I usually have a Capri Sun in my purse.
Okay, perfect.
But we don't address that. He's good with the Jesus Cheez-Its. That's all I need.
I love it.
One step at a time.
Right.
Amazing.
You know, what I love about that, Tony, is that that you're making it accessible to him. Right. And bring it to his level so he can have a conversation about it, so he can, you know, take steps in the spiritual journey. And I think it's beautiful to be able to figure that out. And I think so often we treat this whole spiritual path and some people are going to hate our show for this probably because they're thinking that we're being like sacrilegious. But but man, I think that God's heart more is that we would learn to connect with him than we would do everything right all the time. You know what I mean? So I love what you guys are trying to figure out and the journey you're on, and I appreciate you sharing a lot of it with us tonight. We're going to hear more from Tony here later on as a part of Radio Theology. But if you like Radio Theology, go follow us on Facebook, Instagram, all that kind of stuff. You can also follow our blogs, lisagraff.com, darrenearlywine.com, and @RyanSongs is Ryan's Twitter. His new website's coming out here pretty soon, right, Ryan?
Yeah, in April, top of the month.
In April. So stay connected with us. And if you miss any of the episodes of Radio Theology, you can jump on iTunes and just go to The Radio Theology, subscribe to the iTunes channel. And every week we send out a podcast and highlights of the week, and you can stay up to date. So this is Radio Theology on 99.5 ZPL.
This is Radio Theology with Pub Pastor Darren on 99.5 ZPL. ZPL.
So we were talking about, we had Tony Williams here from the Smiley Morning Show. We're just talking about her kind of spiritual journey in life, and having Lucas kind of was a turning point for her. And we were talking off air about the funny things that kids pray about. Because, you know, when you're talking about when Lucas got in Iraq and then you guys prayed and the tear fest that was. Mm-hmm. But Ryan, you've had some, you know, your daughter's starting, she's old enough now. She's starting to have some prayers, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's just kind of like getting to the point where it's just kind of whatever she sees, we're praying for that right now. You know? And I usually ask her, usually I do bath in bedtime, so I'm on prayer patrol.
Yeah.
And we don't just pray at bedtime, but whatever. So I'm like, okay, Olivia, what were you thankful for today? And she's like, mommy and daddy and baby August and mommy and daddy. And it's like, all right, kid.
Okay.
And then it's like, okay, and who needs God's help? And this one time she just goes, I don't know why she's kind of like all the vocal pauses when we're in prayer, but she's like, Jesus. And I was like, that's a pretty good blanket answer when you're trying to
nailed
teach
it.
A 2-year-old. I was like, all right, well, theologically, yes, Jesus did need God's help. At one point. You
know? And after 45 minutes, you put her to bed.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Oh,
it is so funny, what about though? You?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, Josie, yeah, she's 2.5, and she's, she prays for all the food she sees when we pray at dinner.
Yeah.
But in bed, she always says, we're potty training too, so it's like this fun mix of talking about poop all the time.
I have a son, so that never goes away, potty training or not. No,
exactly. Yeah. So she says, yes, thank you, God, for I go poopy in the potty, and then I get candy. Like, yes, we're all thankful for the candy and the poop in the potty.
So. I love it.
Oh, that's good. You know, we did the same thing, Ryan, is each night when I put the boys to bed, I always ask
poopy
them,
in the potty?
Yes.
Give them candy.
And then I get candy.
Yay!
You get the candy?
Yeah, it's great. That's Julie's got this bowl of, you know, Jolly Ranchers by the, you know, she's like, did you poopy, Darren? No, but I always ask the boys the same thing. I always ask them, you know, what they're grateful for in that day. And one thing, the four values I'm trying to really drive home for them is to be men of humility, courage, gratitude, and faithfulness. Kind of the four things that I always talk about. So we say, what are you grateful for? And then, you know, who needs God's help or whatever. And so the other night, Knox, our youngest one's praying, and he's like, he's going through, and our stupid dog, Theo, we're talking about dogs tonight, right? Hooker and, you know, all these dogs that have died.
I told a dog murdering story earlier in case you missed it.
Yeah, yeah. Download the podcast. You can catch up about Tony's childhood
dog. Bring the tissues.
Yes. It's a tough one. But so our dog Theo, he's I don't know if he's got anxiety or what, but he's been – this is gross. But he's been licking his butt and pulling out all of his tail hair. And it's so gross because he doesn't – it's like – and the sound of him – oh, it's so disgusting.
Tony's grandpa would have never stood for
that. No, no.
Hold on. I love that the first thought in your dog's mind is, I'm anxious. I need to lick my own butt.
Mom and Dad are gone. What am I going to do? I know. Hey, we're praying the other night, and Knox is like, no, thanks God for this and that, whatever. And he's just like, you know, and you know, help the brothers in their I-step test and Theo's butt. Amen.
Got to get that in right there at the end.
Yeah. Amen.
And it didn't help. God hasn't answered the prayer. Theo's just chomping away. But anyway, it's a problem.
What about Lucas? Any funny prayers?
You know what? His prayers are pretty standard. He doesn't venture off. It's sometimes I keep trying to get him to not pray for basketball games because I keep saying, God is not worried about whether IU wins or loses. But that's often what it will be. The Pacers or his basketball game, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. And she is ever expanding. And every week we look forward to the moment.
Ever expanding.
You're going to love
it. Oh, you haven't heard the sweeper yet.
Just wait till you hear the sweeper.
God.
Radio Theology is on 99.5 ZPL. Now, an update on the ever expanding Lisa. And you thought she was big before.
How bad is that? Horrible. Bad? The first time we heard that, I was like, that's. So
good thing I'm emotionally stable, guys.
Right.
False. I've already wept tonight several times, which is the story of my week. My eggplant-sized little baby boy.
Oh, an eggplant.
I know.
Right. How many weeks?
I'm 28.
28.
Your baby is an emoji now.
Yes. And, so I'm in my third trimester. Apparently, like, that's the thing. And, okay. Oh, my goodness. I had to tape my belly button down for the first time this week.
What?
I have a maternity dress, so it's tight fitting, you know, because it somehow makes you feel less fat. I don't know. And my belly button leads the way. That thing is like, boing. And my coworker, we were like having all these partners and clients, you know, come for this lunch thing or whatever. And it's like, let's impress everyone. And she's like, you have to tape that down. It's so distracting. She's like, I can't stop staring at it. But I'm like, then that's not what we want. So, yeah. So we'll see at the gala on Friday night.
How much tape did it take?
Yeah.
Well, I found one Band-Aid in the bathroom at work. Did not do the trick. So it was like a halvesie. It was the best I could do.
Oh, God.
For the gala, I don't know. We'll see.
Tape down a belly button?
Well, I used to use Band-Aids in place of a bra in college. So, you know, because I had backless shirts. Yeah. And
anything
could
be taped down, really.
That's just a whole other world. I'm not aware of this of our female friends.
Wow.
So we'll see on Friday night if my belly button's taped down or not. You'll be able to tell because it'll be knocking into you at the buffet.
Lisa's belly button here. Sorry, I gotta get through. Hold on.
But oh my gosh, yeah. So I've cried like every day this week, a million times in a million different ways. Last week we talked about like everybody's going through something, you know. So you gotta like really. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at somebody, you know, they're going through something you have no clue about. And I was in line at Joann Fabrics, and there was this old lady in front of me. And I was like, I'm not even in a hurry, right? Doesn't even matter. I'm just chilling. No problem. But she's like, I think I have my coupon in here somewhere. You know, like she's lying. Like I've gone through all the theatrics to fake a coupon and see if they're like, oh, sure, I'll give you 20% off or whatever.
Hey.
She's going through it all. And I'm like, dude, wrap it up. You know, and then she says, she finds her coupon. She says, I'm so sorry. I'm so scatterbrained. It's been a rough week. My daughter's mother-in-law is on the ventilator now, and they're pulling the plug today. And all this stuff, like, tells this whole story. And I'm like, I'm a horrible person. So I'm just standing there like, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm glad you found your coupon. But I was like, dude, we just talked about this, and I was the one that said it. Everyone's going through something. Give everybody a break. And then this little old lady is going through
grandma's
something.
Chops.
She just tried to save $1.50 on fabric, right? And I'm just like, hurry up! Because I had nowhere to be. So there you go. So that was basically sums up my week. That and all the chocolate milkshakes I've been drinking. But I had several moments this week, and I don't know, Tony, if you can relate to this, as a mother, like several moments where I was feeling lots of fear about mothering or whatever, lots of Josie situations. And I realized that how quickly I go from being scared about something, being upset, being emotional about it, the fear, the worry, the unknown, the blah, 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 the list can go on forever as a mother because your brain never, ever shuts off. As fast as I can go from fear into faith and confidence and action of some sort, that like that's how happy and the most joy I feel as a mother. If I can move quickly through that instead of feeling it and letting it overtake me.
So you're saying to move from a fearful place to a place of faith and confidence, the quicker you can go there,
the more joy I feel as a mother.
Wow. Wow.
Thank you for helping me say that, because I'm like, blah, 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 blah. I don't know.
It's really good.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I've been working on this week.
Well, I got a question then. What helps you make that jump?
Sometimes it's Ryan. This week, my husband, both times I was like, hey, man. He's like, whoa. It's fine. Like one time, like we haven't let Josie cry in her bed since she was a baby, you know, and even then it was like 2 minutes and I could hardly handle it, you know, but she was like playing me for everything. I'm like, I need you to go to bed. And she just cried. And I was like, see ya. Yeah, see you in the morning.
Door, lights,
love you. We've done it all. You
book
know.
Flights to Mexico.
Yeah.
See ya.
Exactly. Yeah, she's there. She's crying and calling my name. And I'm just like, I'm on the couch bawling. And Ryan's like, it's fine. I'm like, I know it's fine, but she probably hates me. And she's like, she thinks I'm letting her down, and I'm letting down. I'm letting down my daughter, you know. And I go through this whole thing. And I'm like, this is stupid. And he's like, yeah, you're kind of being stupid.
Yeah, mom,
it's fine.
Mom guilt's
so
the real
it's
deal.
It's the tough love. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, but sometimes it's like, it's gonna be fine.
Well,
yeah.
I do think it's interesting too, because I look at the generation before us, and I don't know how your parents all were, but I know my mom did not worry about mom guilt and did not worry about, you know, having the homemade snacks for me and this stuff like that. I mean, that just was not a thing.
Yeah.
And I feel all this pressure all the time. Mm. And it's all put on by myself. I'm the one doing it.
Right.
It's not, no one does it to us. I mean, there's social media and there's all of those things that we
can
play.
Pinterest.
Right? I know. I hate Pinterest.
Your life is perfect, isn't it?
But really, I feel like there's a generational thing where, you know, we keep putting all this pressure on ourselves to be the perfect parents. And I'm not sure it's the best thing for our kids every time.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I feel that way too. And I'm like, I don't subscribe to that. I'm like, I am not a mom guilt person. I don't care. And seriously, I drop her off. I'm like, see ya. Don't let the door hit you and all
yeah.
that stuff.
Yeah.
But then for some reason, I think this week the pregnancy hormones were rocking mm-hmm. and I just couldn't control it. But then you could let yourself spiral. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stop right now. And yeah. I'm just going to turn to a place of faith and know that it's fine.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I blogged about it.
So you got that on your blog?
It. Yeah. It's on the blog I posted today on lisagraf.com.
Now, the Radio Theology Thought of the Night.
So we're just a few weeks away from Easter, and we're talking about our spiritual journeys. And so here's the deal. Here's a question I think we all have is, what's God's agenda for my life? Or what's my agenda for God? There's lots of different ways to say it or ask it. But if we're honest, most of us aren't really sure what to do with God. We really struggle to trust him. Is he good? Is he loving? Is he fair? Is he mad at me? If I'm good enough, will he give me everything I want? We all have a journey. We've all asked some of these questions. In his book, Sky Genthani, it's a book called With, right? He says that we usually settle into one of four camps. Some of us try to live our lives above God. We think we're in charge, and every once in a while we might throw God a bone, so he'll just leave us alone. Some of us live our lives below God. Now, we're really sure he's mad at us, and he's looking forward to crushing us with all his rules and laws and basically just his wrath. This is a pretty scary way to live, if we're honest, but a lot of people who go to church a lot, they often feel like this. Then there's people who live their life from God. For them, God's basically become like their cosmic Santa Claus, or maybe like a life slot machine. They put in their good deeds, they pull the lever, and they hope they hit the life jackpot. The problem with this view of life is that when life happens and it really hits the fan, these people are usually pretty pissed off that God didn't give them what they wanted. And then there's the people who try to live their life for God. I did this for a long time, and I thought if I did enough, I'd make God happy, and in turn, I'd be happy. This perspective didn't work out very well for me either, and eventually, I got burned out and tired, and I didn't want to work for God anymore. No matter what faulty perspective you live with, they all miss the point. And once we discover the point of all of it is that God actually wants to live life with us, things begin to change. It's actually the whole story arc of the Bible, at least in my perspective, right? In the beginning, God creates humanity in a paradise to live with him forever. Then sin and selfishness enters the equation and separates us from God, and we can't be with him anymore. So he chooses one group of people to begin a relationship so he can invite every group of people into that same relationship. And then God shows up himself on earth, Jesus, right? To be with us. He lives a life, he dies, and 3 days later he comes back from the dead and ascends into heaven so he can send the Holy Spirit so he can actually live in each of us, right? And this continues until the end of time when we all go to heaven, and you guessed it, once again, we live with God. So I'm not sure where you are on this journey. Are you living above him, below him, trying to get life from him, or doing your darnest to live for him? Whatever, wherever you're at, maybe this month on Radio Theology, you might consider just maybe imagining what it would be like to just live life with him. That's always been his agenda for your life anyway. And that, my friends, is the Radio Theology Thought of the Night.